Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pennywise Podcast, the best pod around for personal finance. We're part of the Lee Enterprises Podcast Network and brought to you in partnership with WalletHub, the best personal finance app in the whole wide world. You can sign up for WalletHub to save money, improve your credit, and budget better. I'm your host, John Kiernan. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the managing editor at WalletHub, and I've been covering personal finance for more than 15 years. My goal is to help you manage money better and hopefully have a little fun in the process. As always, be sure to let us know if you have any questions or if there's something you want us to cover. We'll actually get to a listener question at the end, so make sure to stick around. But first, our main topic for today is holiday shopping. It's that time of year again, and a lot of us are going to be looking high and low for ways to save, rifling through the couch cushions to collect loose change, or searching for opportunities to borrow and worry about the bills later. A lot of people are in that boat, I think. This is actually a year-round topic when you consider just how much people tend to spend around the holidays and how it affects their finances for months after. For example, just consider these statistics really quick. The average holiday shopper is expected to spend over $1,500 this year, according to numerous reports. And based on WalletHub research, we already know that the average household already has over $11,000 in credit card debt to begin with, and we've racked up an average of $70 billion in total in credit card debt during the final 3 months of the year, dating back to 2015. So that's overall a national number, but it's pretty staggering. And it's also kind of shocking when you think about the fact that more than one in four Americans are still paying off debt from the last holiday season. So we're a year removed from it, and people are still paying off their holiday splurges, and a lot of people are going to add more debt on top of that this year. Now, I'm not trying to scare you off from indulging in the holidays or anything like that. I'm all about getting into the holiday spirit, particularly now that I'm older, spoiling kind of little ones in my life, my nieces and nephews, but you have to go about it the right way. And so for some advice on that, I brought in my buddy Chip Lupo, who's one of my colleagues from WalletHub. Chip is a personal finance writer at WalletHub, and he's an expert on credit cards, budgeting, South Carolina football, and state fair winning cookies, believe it or not. Hey, Chip, how's it going?
Hey, John, doing well here. How are you? Where are you these days?
Pretty good. I'm in D.C. These days, per normal, but We'll get back to the Gamecocks and the cookies and all that in a little bit later. But first, let's talk turkey, or what comes after turkey for a lot of people, holiday shopping. So what are your top tips for people who want to get the most bang for their buck when holiday shopping without going overboard?
Wow, John, that's a tall task, you know, particularly in this economic climate that we're still in. But I do have a handful of tips that I think that will really help people out. Now, the most important things to do, now what I'm about to tell you is not exactly groundbreaking, but they are effective. I'm talking about starting early and beginning with a budget. Now, starting early is important for a couple of reasons. For one thing, the earlier you begin your holiday shopping process, the more sales events you'll have access to, common sense. That doesn't mean that you have to go buy something every time there's a promotion, but you can pick and choose your spots and, you know, pounce when there's a great deal on something that's on your list. Now, for example, you can save anywhere from, you know, zero all the way up to 88% on Black Friday. And that's depending on what you buy, of course. Now, that's according to some of our recent research. We also had a recent WalletHub survey where we found that 2 in 3 people believe that early holiday shopping saves them money. Okay. Mm-hmm. Second, getting a head start on your holiday shopping, or at least the planning part of it, that gives you plenty of time to apply for a new credit card that could save you hundreds of dollars. We have cards that could get you 2% cash back on every purchase, for example. There's a lot of cards that have big sign-up bonuses for spending a certain amount in the first few months your account's open. Now, and holiday shopping is an ideal time to be able to, with the spending you're going to be doing, that will help you qualify for these types of bonuses.
Gotcha.
Plus, you also have time to build up a dedicated holiday shopping fund, something separate from your everyday, from your rainy day fund, so you don't go dipping into any emergency expenses.
Gotcha. That's good advice. I know I could use a kind of a few hundred extra dollars from credit card rewards around the holidays, as I'm sure a lot of other people could as well. And I want to get back to you and ask about the best cards to use about that for the holiday shopping. But you mentioned beginning with a budget as well. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk more about that.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, making a holiday budget is crucial, especially if you're starting your process early, because without a budget, it's very easy to get carried away and overspend on gifts. And with credit card interest rates as high as they are right now, going into debt for holiday shopping, well, let's just say that that's probably worse than a lump of coal in your stocking right now.
Yeah, I always dreaded that lump of coal growing up, so it's very effective. But on the note of a holiday budget, WalletHub actually, as I'm sure you know, but our listeners might not, WalletHub gives users a personalized holiday budget based on kind of the information in your credit report and your stated priorities and your budgeting profile. And so people can go to WalletHub and see how much the recommended amount to spend over the holidays is and set up savings goals if they want to spend more. So I definitely recommend people checking that out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to do my budget like most people would do their budgeting in a notebook. Then you would upgrade to a spreadsheet. But it's so much easier now that you, or at least I did, at least finally got with the times and started using a budgeting app.
You know, I guess that does. Chip is my elder, for full disclosure. I think that kind of shows that you can teach an old dog new tricks. So that's good news for everyone. So we've got starting early and making a budget. Those, I think, are pretty common sense tips, but they're some of the most effective. What else should people try to do in preparation for holiday spending?
Well, John, once you have your budget laid out, that's the time you need to start figuring out how much of that budget you're going to allocate to each person on your list, plus any other holiday expenses you might have. So that's going to make it easier for you to shop for gifts in the price range you can afford, rather than starting out with something extravagant and then trying to figure out how to afford it. Now, you may need to adjust your budget a bit throughout the process, so be flexible, but be careful not to completely throw out your original plan.
That's really good advice, Chip. I've definitely fallen into the trap of kind of thinking present first before budget first and falling in love with some expensive gift for one of my siblings or my parents or something like that before figuring out whether I can actually afford it. And that kind of leads you to make bad decisions for your wallet, and you can oftentimes get something that'll mean more to the recipient that's a lot less expensive. And so kind of going gift first is definitely not sustainable. But speaking of sustainability, what are some other things that people can do to keep costs down and avoid wasting money?
Well, some people will pay only with cash or debit card to ensure that they don't spend more than they can afford to pay back, which is a sound strategy, but doing so, that would mean sacrificing a lot of rewards value. Remember, there's a couple hundred dollars leaving on the table that we had talked about earlier. And these buy now, pay later installment loans, these are a thing now. That's another alternative, but that also has a similar downside with in terms of credit card rewards.
Gotcha.
Now, buying certain things like holiday-themed items like, say, wrapping paper, for example, buying those in bulk, that can save you in the long run. And when it comes to electronics, if you or someone on your gift list is not one of these people that has to have the newest model, go out and explore getting one from the previous year, even the year before, because that's a good way to save you in electronics. Retailers are looking to get these older items off the shelf, so you could probably get some significant discounts there.
Yeah, oftentimes the updates from model to model are kind of incremental too, so you're getting basically the same functionality at a much lower price.
Maybe one or two extra bells or whistles, but what else can you fit on these phones that's going to make
it
worth the effort? No. But John, also explore gift cards and maybe even homemade gifts. You can get creative, you know, because now one thing that people don't realize is that you can buy a lot of retailer gift cards at a discount online rather than going to the store and buying them off the rack. And that way you don't have to devote as much time to choosing a specific gift or having to deal with any potential need for returns. Plus, John, I got to tell you, some of the most memorable gifts that I ever received cost the gift giver little or nothing. There was a little creativity and a little planning. So with all the technology we have out there, it's easier now than ever to get creative.
Yeah, I agree 100%. If you can't draw or you can't make stuff, it's a lot easier to do these days. You just need to have a good idea. And the thought is really what counts. I know it's kind of a cliche, but it's true. And right now, in speaking of thoughts, I'm thinking that you give us a quick rundown of the best credit cards for holiday shopping, as kind of promised earlier. And then we can quickly recap the rest of your tips before we get into a little bit of budget-friendly holiday baking. Does that sound good?
Oh, sounds great, John. Now, based on Wallet Hub's comparison of about 1,500 or so credit card offers, some of the best cards available for holiday shopping are the Wells Fargo Active Cash Card. It gives you 2% cash back on everything without paying an annual fee, so that's a bonus.
And you can get a bonus on that card, too, and spend it.
Yeah, there you go. So holiday spending can, you know, contribute to quickly getting that bonus. Amazon Prime Visa for online shopping. If you're obviously you're a Prime Visa member, particularly those last-minute purchases, quick shipping. And either the Chase Sapphire Preferred Card or even the Capital One Venture Card for travel rewards. A lot of people like to do traveling over the holidays, and plus you can get a big welcome bonus with either card. Now, all those cards, again, will save you hundreds of dollars over the holidays. Now, for the most part, though, it's very important. This is key because you do need to pay these cards off by the due date to avoid any interest charges, or else you're defeating the purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And just really quick, I'll tell you one of the main reasons I signed up for Amazon Prime is to be able to get quick, like overnight or 2-day shipping around the holidays, because I'm a big procrastinator and often end up wanting to go shopping and buy things on Christmas Eve or the day before. So it's been a lifesaver in the past. And I'll also note that I've used both Sapphire Preferred and Venture, and they've helped me pay for vacations in the past. So it can be using your holiday spending to kind of qualify for their initial bonuses can really pay off in the long term.
Oh, exactly. Now to recap, John, let's just run down quickly my top tips for holiday shoppers. Start early, begin with a budget, have a price range for each gift, consider buying gift cards at a discount, look into free or low-cost gift ideas, and save money with one of the best credit cards that we just talked about. And I'm going to throw in even an extra one here, John. We just sort of touched on this a second ago, but pay off your purchases as soon as possible. Now, more than 1 in 4 people are still paying down last year's holiday debt, so that's definitely not a boat that you want to be in. So, careful budgeting, strategic use of a balanced transfer credit card, those can help you avoid that fate.
Definitely. That's great advice, and I think kind of the most important things for people to remember is just, if you can't afford it, don't buy it, and really make a plan as soon as possible for what you're going to spend and what you're going to buy, and put some thought into creative, low-cost gift ideas, and kind of all these tips collectively can turn maybe an unaffordable holiday into one that is more affordable. And something that is kind of important throughout the holidays, an important part of the ambiance and the spending, is the food aspect of things. And as we told, I mentioned earlier, you have quite a baking background, and kind of all the cookie and pie makers around South Carolina know not to mess with you. Is that correct? Can you tell us a little bit about your baking bona fides and what people can do to keep things tasty yet affordable over the holidays?
Wow, you've really been doing your homework there, John. Yeah. ever since 2012, well, first of all, let me start off. My grandfather was a chef and a baker, so in California, and mom learned from him, we learned growing up, and so always been pretty proficient with it. But ever since 2012, I've entered something in along the lines of baked goods at the South Carolina State Fair here in Columbia, and every year I've come back with some type of hardware, either blue ribbon or red ribbon. And in fact, the state fair is going on as we speak right now in Columbia, South Carolina. And I'll be heading down there this weekend. I'll be down there for the Oklahoma game. State Fairgrounds is right across the street from the stadium, so why not make a weekend of it? Now, when it comes to holiday baking, again, just as if you're shopping, plan early. You know, because the holidays, it's about a good 6-week, 2-month stretch. So start early. Start your baking list early, all the ingredients. Shop in bulk if you can. Get all of your staples, like your flour, your sugar, your brown sugar, your eggs. Get everything ahead of time So that way you're not having to make any extra trips during the holidays, which is always an invitation for an impulse buy. You may start out heading toward the grocery store and you may stop off at Best Buy along the way and then make an unnecessary purchase. So yeah, if you're able, I mean, warehouse club memberships, there are nominal membership fees, but if you buy enough in bulk, it'll more than pay for itself.
Any advice about kind of the some budget-friendly types of desserts that maybe you could bring to a holiday gathering that would be easy to make but kind of impressive?
Well, if baking is not your thing, there's a lot of grocery stores do have some quality baked goods that are, in a lot of cases, just as good as something you can make, and for some folks, maybe even better. So look into that. And another thing also to keep in mind, too, is keep an eye on your guest list. Plan ahead. Make sure, because you don't want to make too much. Make sure you have an idea. Do head counts if you're having people over. Make sure that you have enough food to go around, but you don't want to wind up with an overabundance of food over the holidays, because that's going to be a waste of money.
That's definitely good advice. You mentioned kind of buying eggs and things in bulk. It made me think recently we did a survey and found that I think a significant number of people say that eggs are too expensive now to even throw people's houses on Halloween. So there might be more for the baking because there's less for the throw-in. Who knows? Maybe that's a silver lining. But lastly, can you give us just a quick rundown of a couple of your prize-winning cookies, maybe from this year or something? Give people some inspiration.
Well, this year, what I did, I won a blue ribbon for what are known as a brownie drop cookies, which is essentially brownie batter, but rather than pour it into a pan, you just scoop it onto a cookie sheet and bake it, and the texture is just like brownies. Those turned out very well. Peanut butter filled cookies, which is essentially a mound of chocolate dough with a peanut butter filling. You roll the dough around the peanut butter filling, bake them, and then when you bite into them, there's some peanut buttery goodness. Two great tastes that taste great together. Maybe I should think about trademarking that phrase.
There you go. I mean, that...
yeah. But the one thing that always is, in fact, last year, my cousins requested that I bring the key lime pie. That was the one that won what's essentially best in show at the state fair back in 2014. It's an authentic key lime pie. Not usually something that's a holiday themed item. That's more of a kind of a summertime dessert. But but it's popular. It's popular demand year round around here.
Gotcha. That's really interesting. I'm sure it'll get people thinking about their holiday meals. I'm personally pretty useless in the kitchen, but you maybe just inspired me to learn more, or I'm just hungry. I'm not sure which one it is at the moment. But thanks so much for joining me today, Chip. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun here too, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Alrighty, it's Q&A time, when we read a question or two from Pennywise listeners and try to provide a helpful answer. Today we have one question from Diana in Ohio. Diana says, I use Mint for budgeting for a long time, but since they discontinued it, I'm not sure what to do. Any advice? That's a great question, and one lots of people have had recently. I don't know what they were thinking when they discontinued Mint and tried to push Credit Karma as a substitute. It doesn't have budgeting tools, really, so it's not a great fill-in there. Obviously, I'm a bit biased since I work there, but I really do think WalletHub is the best Mint alternative. You can choose from 5 different budgeting methods. A lot of other budgeting apps really force you to do it their way. You can also sync your accounts for automatic updates, customize your categories, your budget categories, you customize your alerts, and also your dashboard. So you can basically tailor your budget to you rather than being forced to do it another app's way or the highway. And the best thing is you don't need to have as many apps because you can get great credit improvement and identity protection tools as well. But regardless of which app you use, the most important thing is that you keep budgeting, so don't give up just because Mint's gone away. If you make a budget and you stick to it, you're already ahead of the game. Most people don't do that. So thanks for the question, Diana. Hopefully that helps. And hopefully more of you will send in some questions moving forward. I think that's about it for today. It's been a lot of fun learning a little bit more about money with you. And let's do it again next week. Because if you're not penny wise, it might make your wallet cry. I'll keep working on it, I promise. Thanks again to Lee Enterprises and Wallet Hub for helping us put all this together. And thanks to you for listening. Talk to you later.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.